Relations between two countries can indeed be so delicate that a brief drone footage captured by one side can provoke a full-scale war by the other. This is precisely the situation with Israel, which plans to launch an all-out offensive on Lebanon in response to Hezbollah's recent release of drone footage of Haifa. From Israel's perspective, this aggressive stance is a necessary measure to defend its sovereignty and ensure its national security against ongoing threats from Hezbollah. Now the question is, why did the IDF make such a plan? In case you're still wondering what was so infuriating about the drone footage that it got Israel to not just plan, but also approve an all-out war on Lebanon at the highest levels, it is this. A roughly 10 minutes long video showing surveillance footage of the port city of Haifa's coastline. And it appears to show a footage of an Israeli naval base, as well as several warships and areas supposedly belonging to the Navy's submarine unit, Shayetet 7. The footage reportedly also captured sections of a Rafael Advanced Defense System facility, including the Iron Dome batteries, rocket engine depots, David Slingshot facilities and radar systems. Now that the mystery of the drone footage has been unveiled, let's move on to the next question around Haifa, or more specifically, why Haifa? You see, Haifa is not just the third largest city in Israel, but it is also about 27 kilometers from the Lebanese border. But then we also need to go beyond the geographical aspect here. The Haifa port, apart from handling about 30 million tons of cargo a year, has Israel's largest and most advanced container terminal, the Carmel Terminal. Israel's longest container terminal, the East Terminal, and Israel's only terminal for transportation and storage of chemicals, the Kishon Port. Another global and strategic importance of Haifa comes from the fact that, apart from the Israeli flag, the port also flies higher flag that's well known all across Israel. This flag is of a long-time friend and strategic partner, India. You see, the port is run by a consortium of India's Adani Ports and Israel's Gadot Group. With all these factors, I hope you understand where Haifa stands, not only on the Israeli map, but also on the map of global diplomacy and trade. In case you're wondering, how does a guerrilla group manage to operate a drone that's sophisticated enough to penetrate the heavily guarded Israeli skies? Then the answer lies in the fact that Hezbollah is no longer a guerrilla faction, but rather it's a full-fledged, well-armed paramilitary organization with quite a vast and varied arsenal. This drone footage was shot by Hezbollah's lesser-known aerial forces unit, a unit that is probably media-shy but one whose public antics are unfortunately well-known from the attack on Israel in October 2023. The Israeli military has said that the same unit was behind dozens of explosive-laden drone attacks on the country's northern side, along with other surveillance operations. And in case you are thinking that an outfit like Hezbollah is relying more on luck than on skills to fly these drones, then no. Experts believe Hezbollah is deploying a layered approach to mask its drone activity. This includes keeping drone low to the ground for lowering the radar signature and utilizing multi-channel communication to bypass potential jamming attempts. And Israeli officials have disclosed that they are already spending millions of shekels, that is the Israeli currency, to counter these airborne threats. Israel's foreign minister was not mincing words when he said that a decision on an all-out war with Hezbollah is coming soon, and I quote, "We are getting very close to the moment of deciding on changing the rules of the game against Hezbollah and Lebanon. In an all-out war, Hezbollah will be destroyed and Lebanon will be hit hard." His words follow the announcement by top generals heading the IDF's Northern Command and Operations Directorate, and they have said Lebanon's battle plan is now approved and validated. The Home Front Command, which is IDF's unit responsible for civil protection, is making shelters ready in underground parking lots for civilians in the event of an all-out war with Hezbollah, stocking these bunkers with 80,000 boxes of food, essential supplies and beds. Now let's take a moment to see where this sharp and painful piece of Hezbollah fits in the jigsaw puzzle of the ongoing war between Israel and the Hamas since October 2023, and of course even before that. Since the war began in October of last year, IDF says Hamas and their supporters, which includes Hezbollah, have fired over 19,000 unguided rockets at Israel. And to make things worse, last month in June, in retaliation to an Israeli airstrike which killed a senior Hezbollah field commander, Hezbollah launched its most significant single-day rocket assault on Israel. Because if you see the person who was killed, he was the most senior Hezbollah commander who was killed during 8 months of hostilities, and hence a big blow to the group. Hezbollah has fired some 250 rockets at Israel throughout the day, the most in a day since the conflict began. More than 100 rockets were launched at once, making it one of the group's biggest barrages since the hostilities began in October last year, although a number of which were intercepted while others fell in several locations in northern Israel, did end up causing fire in a number of areas. As they say, where there is missiles, there is retaliation, and that's exactly what Israel did. The Israeli military said their fighter jets struck Hezbollah rocket launch sites in two southern Lebanon locations, and the Israeli artillery targeted a third location. Now zooming out for a bigger picture, since October last year, Israeli strikes have killed little over 300 Hezbollah fighters in Lebanon. And if we look at the Israeli figure, attacks from Lebanon have killed 18 Israeli soldiers and 10 civilians. Plato once said, "Only the dead have seen the end of war." But what about a war that is yet to see its end? Going beyond the death and destruction, a topic that's untouched so far is that of the millions who have been displaced in the last 8 months. About 70% of the Gaza population, or nearly 1.7 million Palestinians, have been displaced, while 90,000 Israelis, or little under 1% of the population, is said to be displaced since the conflict began. From the Lebanese side, about 1 lakh have been displaced from the areas bordering Israel, and these figures may only get worse with the onset of such a bigger and wider war that Israel plans to unleash on Lebanon. Probably now would be a good time to understand a bit more about Hezbollah and why they are a more formidable threat than Hamas. Hezbollah is recognized as one of the world's most heavily armed non-state actors. It is a Shiite political movement based in Lebanon, and it was established during the Israeli-Lebanon War of 1982. It is not often that a group like Hezbollah, which is listed as a terrorist organization by the United States, European Union, and several other governments, is openly supported by another regime. And in case you were able to guess, then yes, I am talking about Iran. And it is not some hollow moral and verbal support that I'm referring to. Iran has provided the militia with advanced long-range rockets, boasting increased precision and the potential for substantial damage to Israel's infrastructure. Although Hezbollah's arsenal predominantly comprises small, unguided surface-to-surface rockets, but the sheer volume of these weapons can pose a significant deterrent to larger technologically superior militaries. This is called asymmetric warfare, which means irregular or guerrilla forces like militias can achieve their goals with sporadic, impactful attacks, while conventional military forces are expected to maintain consistent, comprehensive victories to be considered successful, something which even India is also facing at its western and eastern border. What also makes Hezbollah stand out from any other militia is the fact that they have defense systems such as the Russian SA-22, which is a short-range air defense gun missile system that can target aircraft, helicopters, ballistic and cruise missiles, as well as drones. These assets pose a substantial challenge to the Israeli military, which heavily relies on its air superiority. Now, talking about battlefield experience, in the years following the 2006 war between Israel and Hezbollah, the militia is said to have bolstered its arsenal and gained significant experience in Syria, fighting alongside Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards during Syria's civil war. Now, similar to Hamas, Hezbollah is also said to have developed a tunnel network that runs under Lebanon. According to some Israeli analysts, they are even more extensive than the ones developed by Hamas. Now, the biggest advantage that Hezbollah has lies in its geographical location. You see, geographically, while Gaza stands isolated from its supporter, that is Iran, but in the case of Lebanon, Iran had the perfect opportunity to establish ground and air supply routes leading to Lebanon through not just Iraq, but also through Syria. These supply routes can be used to sustain Hezbollah's fighters in case of an all-out war. Of course, you don't need to be a global military or political expert to know that the implication of a war between Israel and Lebanon won't be restricted to the two countries only. The fire would also end up burning many fingers in the neighborhood too. The head of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, has already stated that in the event of a war, even Cyprus and the other parts of Mediterranean would be in danger. In an attempt to calm the nerves in the region, Amos Hochstein, a senior diplomatic advisor to the US President Joe Biden, was in the region and has already met both sides. According to senior Arab officials, Amos has conveyed straight-faced warnings to Lebanese officials that Hezbollah should expect a limited offensive by Israel in the coming weeks. And such an action will have the US support if a diplomatic solution isn't found soon. With a slightly different take, the US Secretary of State Antony Blinken has suggested that Israel, Hezbollah, and Iran had a common interest to prevent a full-scale war from erupting. Unlike their American counterparts, the Israeli political leadership aren't shying away from using bolder and bigger words to convey what's in store for Lebanon. Apart from Foreign Minister Israel Katz's words on Lebanon being hit hard, Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant has warned that in the event of a war, Israel would return Lebanon to the Stone Age. And these aren't just empty threats. Hezbollah, Lebanon, and the world remembers very well that in 2006, after a Hezbollah cross-border kidnapping operation, a low-level conflict between Israel and Hezbollah erupted, leaving over 100 Israelis and around 500 Hezbollah fighters dead, as well as a badly devastated Lebanon. And for some reason, the militia seems to have forgotten that their very own Hassan Nasrallah later announced that he would have not conducted the operation if he had known a war would occur. On the other hand, Israel faced widespread condemnation from human rights groups for employing excessive force in Lebanon. The criticism stemmed from attacks on various non-military targets affiliated with Hezbollah, including banks, schools, and political offices. Additionally, Israel was accused of deliberately targeting the country's civilian infrastructure. To quote Michael Oren, who served as Israel's ambassador to the United States in the Obama administration, and he said, "Hamas represents a tactical threat to the state of Israel. On the other hand, Hezbollah is a strategic threat to the state of Israel. I have read estimates of what Hezbollah could do to us in 3 days that are just horrendous." He was referring to knocking out all essential infrastructure, oil refineries, air bases, and Dimona. Dimona is Israel's nuclear research facility. While there is a political pressure building up within Israel for tougher action against the heavily armed militia group, there is another growing pressure on the Israeli government to find a resolution that would allow some 60,000 citizens displaced by the ongoing war to return to their homes along the northern border with the start of a new school year in September. On the other side, in the absence of a president or a fully empowered government, the state of Lebanon is barely functional. And decades of conflicts followed by corruption and mismanagement by ruling parties, and even the 2019 port blast, which has left the state in shambles, another war that to a full-fledged war with Israel could turn Lebanon into a breeding ground for forces beyond Hezbollah, which is a future that no one in the neighborhood or the world wants. With Hezbollah that has strengthened its arsenal and gained significant battlefield experience in Syria, and an Israel that has shown what its response to a low-level conflict back in 2006 can be, it is in every party and their neighbor's best interest that a war between Israel and Hezbollah is avoided at all costs. With this, I end my talk here. I hope you found this video informative. Thank you for watching it.